97.3 Cairo FM. I am Paul Harris, filling in for Dave Ross, who's off on vacation for a few days. Thank you for listening. Proud to be back behind the microphone here at News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. I am one of about 11 Americans who does not have a Facebook page. Seems like those are the numbers, anyway. Facebook, an unbelievable phenomenon. It's only, I think, about 4 years old. But it has created huge wealth for the guys who started it. As recounted in a new book called The Accidental Billionaires, The Founding of Facebook, A Tale of Sex, Money, Genius, and Betrayal, written by my next guest, Ben Mesrich. Hi, Ben. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
It's good to talk to you again. First time Ben and I talked was 7 years ago when he wrote a book called Bringing Down the House about the MIT blackjack team. And then a couple of years later, we talked about your other book, The Ugly Americans, and now here we are talking about Facebook.
Yeah, you are one of 11 people who doesn't have a page, I think.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about these guys who started it out. And in the book, you say they only did it because they wanted to meet girls. Really?
Yeah, well, these were two geeky kids. I mean, one was a sophomore, one was a junior, Mark Zuckerberg and a friend named Eduardo Saverin. And they were kind of outsiders. Mark was a computer geek who was, you know, obsessed with computers. Eduardo was a gawky kid who really did just want to meet a lot of girls. And the two of them were really outsiders. And it all started with a college prank. Late one night, Mark Zuckerberg, after being dumped by a girl, was drinking some beers in his dorm room, and he hacked into the computer systems at Harvard and pulled up pictures of every girl on campus. And he made a sort of hot or not website where you could vote on which girl was hotter.
Was that called Face Smash?
It was called, yeah, Face Smash. And basically, everyone at Harvard tried to log in at the same time to vote on who they thought the hottest girl was, and it ended up crashing all the computer servers at Harvard. And Mark almost got kicked out of college. Like, he had to get a lawyer to try and fight his way to stay from getting kicked out. But that was really the birth of Facebook. A couple weeks later, he realized that if people could put their own pictures up, you know, it might be something people would want to do, and it wouldn't get him in trouble. And,
I want to back up just a second here, because
sure.
you know a little bit about Harvard yourself, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I was a geeky kid at Harvard trying to get girls, too. I went there, and I know the area pretty well, yeah.
All right, so tell me how the Harvard community, which, of course, has been in the news again because of Henry Louis Gates in the last few days. But how did the Harvard community view this so-called prank by Zuckerberg?
Well, I mean, it was pretty bad. And what was funny was Mark didn't realize why so many people would be mad. But a lot of the women's groups on campus got very upset. The university itself got very upset because he had hacked into their computer system. The campus as a whole started to hate Mark. I mean, there were a lot of newspaper articles in the local, you know, in the school paper, and all these kind of things trashing him. So he was definitely in a lot of trouble for a couple days.
Did he have a reputation as more than just a geek, but was he really a hacker before this?
Well, there was a rumor that when he was in high school, his name was on an FBI hacker list. And also when he was in high school, he had created a piece of software for MP3 players when he was 17, and Microsoft had offered him $1 million for it, and he had turned it down.
Hmm.
I mean, nobody really knew why, so it was a very hacker-esque thing to do. He had actually just put it up on the web for free. So, yeah, he was well known as this computer geek, but he was definitely not known socially at all. I mean, nobody knew who he was. He was, you know, off in a corner, didn't really have any luck with women, and then he did this prank. So that's when he got known on campus.
All right, so how does a prank like that turn into the world's most popular social networking website? Tell me what that next step is, not how we get from A to Z, but how did he go from A to B?
Well, the first thing that happened, which was kind of a side story, is he caught the attention of these two kids, the Winklevoss twins, who were two identical twin Olympic rowers. They actually rowed in Beijing, and they were seniors. They were the cool guys on campus. They were getting lots of girls. They were kind of the center of attention. They saw Mark in the newspaper, and they had made a dating website in their dorm room. So they needed a computer geek to do their programming. So they actually went to Mark and asked if he would help with their site. And Mark, you know, worked with them but didn't really like their idea, kind of blew them off, and then he launched Facebook a couple weeks later.
Hmm.
So they believe that Mark stole the idea from them. And Mark says it was just a natural progression from his college prank to the next level, which was Facebook.
What was that website called?
That was called the Harvard Connection, but it eventually launched under the name ConnectU, which still exists. It just never caught on because Facebook was so huge.
And do they, to this day, contend that he stole their idea?
They do, or they're very upset. They did a lawsuit, and they actually settled. They received, it leaked out, $65 million. So there was a lawsuit and a settlement, but they're still angry. They believe it wasn't enough money and that Mark stole their idea.
Ben Mezrich, the book is The Accidental Billionaires, The Founding of Facebook, A Tale of Sex, Money, Genius, and Betrayal. We'll have more in a moment here on News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. This is News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. I'm Paul Harris, talking with Ben Mezrich. His book is called The Accidental Billionaires, The Founding of Facebook, A Tale of Sex, Money, Genius, and Betrayal. Mark Zuckerberg, the guy who founded Facebook, has become a billionaire. Lots of other people have gotten rich. Although, Ben, you got to explain to me, does Facebook even make money?
Well, they make some money, but they're not profitable yet. They have 250 million users now. They don't earn anywhere near what they need to be profitable. But, you know, the idea is that sooner or later they will, because they have such a huge user base that there are different ways they could earn money. They're just trying to figure out what's the most, you know, the least intrusive way to either do advertising or to charge people some way or another. But they're valued at $6.5 billion on paper. And
value to that because of people who want to put money in and who have put money in, including Microsoft and some venture capitalists, right?
Right. Microsoft made an investment a few years ago, and then a Russian billionaire made an investment about a week ago of $200 million, which, you know, priced it at this $6.5 billion. So it's definitely valued at that much, and I think that they'll find a way to make a lot of profit. I mean, it's just such a huge user base.
Well, there are only two ways that they can make money. One is pay people or have people pay to use it, which would absolutely kill their user base. And the other is advertising. Go the Google route and see if they can turn it into, a place where advertisers can reach this huge base of users. But the question is, will that drive people away? Because so many people have gotten, and this is part of the problem that goes on in arguments inside the media now, particularly inside of newspapers that are finding themselves having to go out of money, out of business because they're not making enough money online. And it's a very thin line they have to walk between how much do we upset our users by putting advertising on there and how much can we possibly go forward with on the other side of it if we don't do any of that. Where does Facebook fall on that line?
Well, I mean, right now, they definitely don't do a lot of advertising. I mean, they're very careful about it. They do some, but it's not overwhelming. And they've been very good about that. Yeah, but it is a question. I mean, how do you monetize a site like that? You know, you don't want to charge people money. On the other hand, if you charge people a dollar a year, you know, you're making $250 million a year already. So there are ways to go about it. The other thing is they have massive amounts of information. They have more information through Facebook than any other website about people. So that information is extremely valuable as well. So there are ways that they can get around actually just having banner ads all over the place by selling information to advertisers. There's different things they can do. It gets a little creepy when you go in that direction, but they're going to figure it out sooner or later.
You know, MySpace is probably Facebook's number one competitor when it comes to social networking, right?
Well, MySpace is on the way down, that's for sure. But yes, it has been their number one competitor. Twitter is the new one. But MySpace is on the way down. MySpace is much more of a brand thing. I mean, people go on there to show off whatever it is they're doing, you know, their music or their art or their movies. And it's much more of a branding thing than it is a social network. You don't really socialize on MySpace anymore.
But I bring it up because MySpace was sold to News Corp because Rupert Murdoch said, oh, this is the future social networking sites. We'll buy this, we'll pay an enormous amount of money from it, and we'll make a lot of money from it. And it turned out that that wasn't the case with MySpace.
Right. I mean, that was a big mistake. He spent $650 million or something like that, and the site is really just a dirty free-for-all now. It's not really a money-making site at all. I think Facebook is different in that it is actually a communication tool. I mean, the average person who goes on Facebook spends 4 hours a day on it, and we're talking college kids and older, and it's a massive, massive sort of social change. People spend all their time on it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's different than MySpace in a lot of ways. People go on MySpace looking for something, but people actually live on Facebook. And I think that's the big difference. And I really do think it's going to be very valuable going forward.
You mentioned Twitter. How does it work in this world of social networking? Is it a companion to Facebook? Is it a replacement for some people for Facebook?
I mean, definitely, you know, a lot of people like Twitter a lot. But the truth is Twitter seems much more like something that could be a component of Facebook. There's no real point to Twitter. I mean, I have a Twitter page, you know, and I can keep in touch with the people who read my books. But yep. It's really more about celebrities and people trying to, you know, reach an audience. It's not really a communication tool. And the other thing about Twitter is it really does feel like it might be a fad. You know, I keep saying it's like the Macarena of the Internet. It seems like it's really hot right now, but I can't imagine it's going to stay in this form for another year. But, you know, you never know. I have no idea how they're going to make money off of Twitter because it's so quick and it's so tiny that if you had ads all over the place, it would be ugly and it would be unusable. So I actually think it'll end up incorporated into Facebook.
Yeah. By the way, I'm on Twitter also, and I just tweeted that I'm talking to you right now on Cairo FM.
So. Well, that's great. I hope you drive some Twitter traffic to me. But, I mean, it's fun. I definitely get why it's entertaining. I just don't get how it ever makes money.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that's part of the problem for a lot of these people. And, again, I go back to so many of us who are users of the Internet, and I've been online for a very long time. Back right. to the days when it was all text on CompuServe. I mean, I'm a geek in that way.
Right.
But, so I've seen a lot of stuff come and go through the course of Internet history of just the last two decades, let's say. And I always see these things that become explosively huge but don't make a cent.
Yeah.
And yet they're valued at, what did you say Facebook is?
$6.5 billion
with no income or virtually no income. Stunning
I mean,
listen, to me.
Even YouTube is losing money. And I mean,
yeah.
That's what's crazy. You know, other than Google and Amazon, there's very few of these sites that make the fortunes that they're valued at. But I do think Facebook will be different. You know, it isn't yet. But I feel like if they make the right moves, they should reach, you know, a real good value. But who knows? You know, it's still early, I think.
Let me take a break, and we'll come back and talk more with Ben about his book, The Accidental Billionaires, The Founding of Facebook, A Tale of Sex, Money, Genius, and Betrayal. I'm Paul Harris, filling in for Dave Ross on News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. This is News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. I'm Paul Harris. Talking with Ben Mezrich. The book is called The Accidental Billionaires. It's about the guys who founded Facebook. It's hard to believe this thing's only been around for 4 years, because not only do things come and go with such lightning speed in the Internet age, but Facebook, for so many people, has become such an important part of their life that they probably can't believe that it hasn't been around forever. Ben is talking in the book about Mark Zuckerberg and Eduardo Saverin, the guys who started this at Harvard University. And they started out as friends. Are they still friends with all that money on the line?
No, I mean, their friendship disintegrated. What happened was, you know, they started it together in a dorm room. Eduardo put up $1,000 to start it, and Mark, you know, did all the work. And then Mark ended up leaving school, moving out to California. Eduardo stayed behind and finished college. And along the way, Mark kind of didn't need Eduardo anymore and got rid of him. And he was pretty much expunged from the history of Facebook. He ended up suing, and he came to me when he was very upset and felt betrayed. But as of a month ago, they reinstated him as co-founder of Facebook. So that's an indication that his lawsuit probably went pretty well.
Did he get a check with a couple of commas in it, do you think?
You know, he won't talk to me anymore. I have a feeling what happened was that the book was about to come out, and Facebook got nervous about what might be said in it. So they quickly did some sort of deal with him. But I don't know. I don't have any details on that.
Did Zuckerberg talk to you for the book?
No, and I spent about a year trying to talk to Mark. He didn't want to. He was kind of terrified about what I might say. Facebook ended up calling me the Jackie Collins or Daniel Steele of Silicon Valley, which I kind of enjoyed. You know, I want to put that on the paperback, but they were not thrilled. I mean, they were nervous about me talking about the Winklevoss twins and me talking about, you know, all the different kind of scenes that might be, you know, that are in the book, and it got very kind of difficult. So Mark did not talk to me, no.
You refer to these guys as two geeks who just wanted to meet girls.
Yeah.
Did it help Zuckerberg get laid?
Well, he did end up getting laid a couple times in the book. One time, him and Eduardo in the basement of a Harvard dorm room got girls because everyone recognized them as the kids who founded Facebook. And later on, Mark did actually end up going home with a Victoria's Secret model. But, you know, Mark's not a normal kid. I mean, he's very socially awkward. He's not going to be one of these billionaires driving around in, you know, a Ferrari or riding around in a giant yacht. He's a very odd guy who's just obsessed with his computers. But, you know, he did become very famous and the youngest billionaire in the world, so I don't think he has any trouble meeting girls if he wants to.
Is it still his company? It's still private, right?
Yeah, it's his. I mean, that's the one theme throughout, is that, you know, they've had to take on a lot of VC money and there's other people involved, but it's really his company. He runs Facebook.
Why doesn't he sell it?
He doesn't care about money, and he never has. That's kind of the cool thing about Mark Zuckerberg. You know, 17, he was offered $1 million for a piece of software and turned it down for no apparent reason. You know, he was a high school kid. And then as he goes through, you know, he never tried to sell Facebook. People have made offers in the $1 billion range, and he's always turned it down. It's scary for the people who work for Facebook because the kid who runs it doesn't care about money. But I find it kind of admirable in a way. I mean, he really is building this great company, and he doesn't have any interest in selling it.
How much more building does the company need at this point?
Well, I mean, listen, there's 250 million members now. I think their goal is billions. You know, I think they want everyone in the world to be on Facebook. And in a way, you know, they have a way they could eclipse just about everything else on the web, because people who are on Facebook don't send emails anymore. They just communicate through Facebook. And it's the biggest picture sharing site on the web now. And it's the biggest, you know, it's going to be the biggest video sharing site. It actually could be the entire web. So I think he has lofty goals.
I mentioned at the beginning of our interview that the first time I talked to Ben was back in 2002 when he wrote Bringing Down the House, the book about the MIT blackjack teams that got turned into the movie 21 a couple of years ago. Somewhere along the way there, I think a couple of years after your book came out, you told me that Kevin Spacey had bought the rights to the book or the option on the book and wanted to turn it into a movie, and he did, of course, and was one of the stars of the movie as well. I understand that he's already looking at this book as a new movie.
Actually, yeah, we already sold the movie. Kevin Spacey is co-producing with Scott Rudin and Mike DeLuca and Dana Brunetti, and we sold it to Sony, and actually Aaron Sorkin adapted it, the guy who did The West Wing and
wow.
Good Men. And so the adaptation's already done. He adapted it while I was writing the book, which was kind of a wild experience. And so, yeah, everything looks good for it to shoot at some point soon.
It's going to be a movie like for next summer, you think?
I mean, listen, I have no idea. I'm the author of a book, so I'm at the bottom of the totem pole. But
you know,
I think it's pretty inevitable that it'll be very quick because, you know, Facebook is hot right now, and you never know with the Internet. So
yeah.
I think they're moving very fast, and Aaron Sorkin is a genius, so I've heard the script is fantastic.
Ben, I thought about you a few weeks ago when I was at the World Series of Poker playing in a cash game at the Rio while the tournament was going on, and there were a couple of guys at the table who were saying, you know what, let's get up from here, let's go play blackjack. And one of them says, well, you know how to count cards, right? We'll be a team, like in that movie. And I thought to myself, this goes directly back to you, and I wonder if you've heard from people who, because of the success of your book, which then became a hit movie, have thought to themselves, we'll do that.
Oh, yeah. I hear all the time. People call me all the time and say they're putting a team together. I think I inspired a lot of people to lose a lot of money. But, yeah, I think, you know, people tried, and it's still doable. You just have to practice a lot, and you have to fly under the radar, and you have to bet low and not get too greedy. And you can still pull it off.
Is there still a blackjack team at MIT, and are they mad at you?
I have heard that there is one. I don't think they're mad at me because I made them famous, but there was definitely a team playing over the past couple of years. I think they recruit students, and they don't last as long. But they're still, you know, still an MIT blackjack team, yeah.
The new book is called The Accidental Billionaires, The Founding of Facebook, A Tale of Sex, Money, Genius, and Betrayal. You're a great storyteller, Ben. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Ben Mezrich with Paul Harris on the Dave Ross Show on News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM.